This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We are killing it online.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
On a Thursday drive, it is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad. During the Carolina Panthers bye week, we've got offensive lineman Austin Corbett joining us. He's in the news today, named the team's Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. He'll drop by at 5:30. But before we get to football, we must hit on the hoops. Almost as disappointing as watching the ACC choke away a 6-3 advantage in the ACC-SEC Challenge last night. Went 1-6, losing by a final tally of 9-7. Watching the way NC State has started the season, equally as rough. Under Will Wade, the Pack lost at Auburn, and so far, the defense has been alarmingly bad. It's a team that looks like it's the one in need of a reckoning. The calling card for Will Wade's recent teams has been defense. Last year at McNeese, out of 370 D1 teams, his McNeese team ranked 14th nationally in opposing points per game. The year before that, 13th in the country. And you might be thinking, well, Josh, that's just the Southland Conference. His last year at LSU, 25th in the nation. None of those teams gave up even 65 points per game. Through eight games this season, NC State allows more than 77 per game, which ranks 227th nationally. That's a problem, especially given the personnel on this team. This isn't just bluster. It's not just the media, the college basketball world falling for a snake oil salesman, so to speak, a used car salesman being duped by the words of Will Wade and his bravado. It's not just blindly trusting his philosophy or his words. It's the players. Trey Holloman came from Michigan State. Darian Williams from Texas Tech. Terrence Arsenault from Houston. All three of these players advanced to the Elite Eight or further, played key roles in helping do that, and they came from programs, proven institutions, known for playing defense. So, the hype was warranted. We were part of it. And then, yes, Will Wade makes you easy. It's easy to believe what he's selling when he's as good at selling it as he is. But this is the reality. The honeymoon for Will Wade at NC State is over. 1-2 in Maui last week, including a loss to Seton Hall. Will Wade did say last night he's actually encouraged following the loss to Auburn.
I'll say this. I mean, look, we don't ever want to lose, but this was way more encouraging than Hawaii in my mind. Now we got to build from here, but this was progress. We made progress in the last week. It didn't show up on the scoreboard today, but if we can keep making progress, I think we'll like where we'll be.
Progress. This is the part where if I'm in that post-game press conference room at Neville, what I'm immediately just wanting to yell out and follow up with, where do you see the progress? We hear coaches say that after losses. Oh, we got better today. Where? Tell us. We'd love to know. Well, it's hard to see. It's something that you have to see us at practice. Oh, got it. It's intangible. Cool. That video courtesy of Pack Pride. Will Wade, no one's going to feel sorry for him. He put himself in this position. He told us once upon a time to mark down what he says
Make sure you got that on camera.
Yeah, make sure we have it on camera. We intend to be in the NCAA tournament in year one, is what he said. A year after the Pac missed out on the ACC tournament, being bottom three in the league standing. So he set the standard. He was this aggressive. He talked about a reckoning. He fired shots at his rivals in the state. It's NCAA tournament or bust for Will Wade. And the defense has been alarming to start the year. On X, at Josh Graham Show and at WSJS Radio, it's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, he is the executive producer of this program. We've got best bets to do on today's show. That's in about 10 minutes. We'll hand out college football and NFL picks. We have Austin Corbett, speaking of, you know, J.C. Horn there. We got Austin Corbett is going to drop by at 5:30. Remind the people what our Jerry Hunt Supercenter High School football game of the week that you're going to be working on tonight is?
We'll be in Greensbury. Grimsley hosting Weddington for a trip to the title game next week.
Exciting stuff. You know, let's actually talk Carolina Panthers for a bit. Now that Chuba Hubbard is out of witness protection, seems to be healthy, had the big day Sunday against the Rams, fans are chanting his name. Seems as good a time as any to remind people, unless there is an injury, and we're knocking on wood, Chuba Hubbard is going to be the running back one for the Carolina Panthers in 2026. No matter what else happens, even if Rico Dowdle continues to put up better numbers for the remainder of this year, Chuba Hubbard, your running back one for 2026. Because the Panthers have already invested in Chuba. They have not in Rico Dowdle.
Rico!
You already signed Chuba Hubbard to a four-year contract. This is year one of a four-year deal. So this isn't like, oh, he has one more year remaining and you can't push things back or do some of the salary cap manipulation with Brant Tillis. This is a guy that we saw how he can play when he's healthy last Sunday. We saw last year how he warranted the contract. He's going to be on next year's team. And generally, when you talk about salary cap sports like the NFL, you don't pay two running backs. When you do, almost always it's a mistake. Just ask Marty Herney when he decided to pay both legs of Double Trouble, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. It was the beginning of the end for Marty Herney with the salary cap disaster of close to a dozen years ago that had to be cleaned up by Dave Gettleman to allow for them to make that Super Bowl run a few years later in 2015. Another key piece of this is Carolina doesn't want to write off Jonathan Brooks yet. You remember Jonathan Brooks? He was the second round pick in the 2024 draft, first running back off the board. Had a significant injury at the end of his Texas career that cost him pretty much all of his rookie season. Then he has another injury towards the end of last year that cost him pretty much all of this year. And some might say, oh, just write it off, can't expect him, he's shot, whatever. That's not how Carolina's viewing it. Second round pick, that's a lot of investment when you have two more years left on his contract and the guy's 22 years old. So if you pay, hypothetically, even though it doesn't make sense salary cap-wise to do so, both Chuba and Rico, how do you find carries for Jonathan Brooks? Where are those carries? What's the solution there? It's very difficult to do that. Plus, Rico's ready to get paid. The Cowboys should have paid him last offseason. They decided to let him walk in favor of former Tar Heel Javonte Williams coming in. So he was looking for an opportunity. He was looking for a place to spend 1 year to prove it, and he decided he's from the state of North Carolina, played at South Carolina. Let's go back to the Carolinas, hashtag two states, one team, be a one-year mercenary, prove it deal, do really well, get paid somewhere else. A lot like Hassan Reddick did when he rejoined Matt Rhule, his college coach, balled out, got a big contract.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
It was understood that Carolina wasn't going to pay him that, not when they had Brian Burns already on a big deal at that point. And it's expected that this is just a one-year relationship, given Jonathan Brooks is out and you already paid Chuba Hubbard. Carolina, you're best suited. Not saying you can't find another running back. Try to find another Rico Dowdle. He's not going to be wanting a multi-year deal. Find somebody next offseason you think can complement Chuba Hubbard and Jonathan Brooks. Give someone for Jonathan Brooks to compete with. that's probably what is best for the Panthers. Can tell that Will Dalton takes issue with this as a Yankee fan. Oh, just pay everybody. Oh, keep everybody around. It's a salary cap sport. Will, can't do that in football.
No, you can't. Now, I would love it if you could retain Rico with how he plays. I mean, because he currently is, barring any changes, your RB1 right now.
I don't know if Canales views it that way.
Well, I mean, like,
it might be RB1, A1B.
Maybe so. Whatever. But, I mean, with some of the numbers that he put up there in the middle weeks of the season, if he keeps doing that, it's like, I mean, I get you paid Chuba already. I get you probably should see what you got in Jonathan Brooks, because they were very high on him till he got hurt. Fans were very high on him till he got hurt. And he's cheap. So, I mean, it's just a bummer. It's a bummer because I loved the move when they made it in the offseason. I thought it was a very underrated move that people weren't talking enough about. And now here we are. And, you know, it just kind of is what it is. Yes, my Yankees brain wants to pay everybody.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Noted Luke Combs fan and Carolina Panthers offensive lineman Austin Corbett is now our guest. We can maybe add another thing to your resume starting today. You are a Walter Payton Man of the Year nomination from the Carolina Panthers that prioritizes community impact for players more than even what they do on the field. It's become the most prestigious honor in the NFL. Austin, I remember Thomas Davis talking about the pride of winning that award and getting to wear that patch on his uniform for the remainder of his career. What community-related efforts in our state are you most proud of to be involved in the last few years?
Yeah, it's like TD said, it's amazing. And whenever you just see guys that are still, you know, actively playing and have that patch, it's awesome. And it's a goal, and that's everything we set out. And so, you know, in my fourth season now here in the Carolinas, we just love it here, and any chance we can get out and get the help we do. And you know, over the 4 years, I've spent a lot of time at, you know, different military bases out here, just getting out, doing helping out, going to see different bases and doing some training stuff with guys. And then the biggest one that I've kind of, you know, taken to is A Kid Again is the foundation. And they got a Carolina chapter, and so I've done a lot with them, and they're all about helping families with children who have life-altering ailments, diseases, and everything that they're about is, you know, just being a whole family-centered organization. And so any chance that we get to get out and just be with families and support and just help them out and just, you know, try to help out just normal daily life things and giving them opportunities just to, whether it's going to Carowinds or, you know, like different little concerts and, you know, holiday festivities and all these sorts of events that they plan. That's been our biggest one that we've been a part of here in the Carolinas.
It's not hard to connect the dots why you would have such a heart for kids when you're a dad of three, but the military piece is interesting. We have Camp Lejeune. We got Fort Bragg in our state. Where does that interest or where did that heart come from for that?
Yeah, for that, it kind of, you know, I've always just been super grateful for our military for their opportunities that they've given me in my life just to, you know, live in this country and have the freedoms that we do and the ability to make the choices that we do and play this wonderful game. And, you know, for me, being a walk-on in college, that was kind of my only option of, okay, well, I either take this walk-on spot, we don't have any money, you know, I had some, you know, academic scholarships that I was able to use to get into school. And it's kind of either I'm going to play football or I'm going to join the military. There's kind of no other real option. And so, you know, going that route of just, okay, well, now I'm here, had this opportunity now to continue to play football. So any chance that I can just get back and show my support in the military for everything they do, the sacrifices, the, you know, it's so similar, and we're once you sign up, you really don't get much say in where you go, just like football. You're going to go where it takes you, and you gotta plant, you know, plant your foundation, plant your roots, and grow from there. And just that ability to connect, that brotherhood that's out there, the, you know, the willingness to put your life on the line and, you know, just to give this country, I mean, it's in such a respectable thing that can't be overlooked. And so having this little platform to be able to show my appreciation and thanks and do it on behalf of the league is never miss a chance.
Austin Corbett is with us here. We'll get to your 7-6 football team that has a chance to make the playoffs for the first time since 2017 in just a little bit. But one more thing on your story. It is a fabulous story where you started as a walk-on, as you noted. You're not at one of the power conference schools. You're at Nevada. But then when you get into the league, when your teammates talk about you, Austin, when players, people I text, are prior to this interview telling me stories about Austin Corbett, every single one of them mentioned your toughness and persistence. Prior to joining the Panthers, you started 16 games, 17 games with the Rams, won a Super Bowl with the Rams. But since then, you tore your ACL, and tell me if I'm missing anything, had two MCL injuries on the same knee, and you even had that torn biceps injury as well that kept you out for a while. What lessons about football or even life have sitting out taught you over the last year, a few years?
Yeah, I think, you know, kind of before that, it kind of, you know, where it all stems from, like you said, being that walk-on, and then kind of stems from my dad and just kind of his example that he gave through us in this life. You know, back in 2008 with the recession, we got hit pretty hard, and it was tough on the family. You know, we were struggling, but just kind of, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but his example of, you know, like, life can suck sometimes, like, that's okay. But when you don't dwell on it, you got to find a way, no matter what it is. And so as I kind of get into those moments where when I become a walk-on, where I'm at the bottom, you know, there's 120 guys, you know, at the time on the NCAA roster, and, you know, I'm 122, like, that ain't, it's not good. Like, it's, but it's, you know, to play the woe is me pity party, all that. It's like, no, like, you have an opportunity in front of you, and you're going to do everything you can, and you're going to find a way. And I think it's just the perfect place for me to call home now if you're in the Carolinas, with that keep pounding mantra and everything that Sam Mills was about. And just that fight, no matter what it is, you're going to wake up and you got to choose every single day to keep going. And, you know, they kind of, you know, like you said, I had that string of playing a lot of football games and things were well. And then you get in where you tear ACL, come back, play four games, tear your MCL, another surgery, come back, play five games, tear my bicep, come back, play two games, you know, get the same knee again, get the MCL. And thankfully that one didn't require surgery. And, you know, we missed four games and we've been playing since. But it's, you know, just taking those lessons from my dad, that walk-on mentality of nothing's promised to you. Nothing's given. And every single day you got to choose it. And now with my kids, I have to be that example to them. And I got to show them that every single day you wake up, it's a choice on how you choose your attitude, on how you battle whatever adversity they're going to be. And it's everything I do is to make sure that my kids know that the example, and mom's not going to let me fail at that either. She's just the most amazing support. So I'm just so grateful for my wife, Madison, and, you know, her ability just to continue to guide me and lead me, and be that encouraging force for me.
That reminds me, the keep pounding mantra and what you're describing, of something Dave Canales said on Sunday. And I may have brought this up to you at your locker on Sunday. I asked Dave about the resilience of the team and having not lost consecutive games since the 0-2 start. And this is what he said. I have the clip here. Listen to what your coach had to say after the win against the Rams.
It's humility. It's playing games where we're humbled by not having great execution and knowing that we have to get back to our basics, our fundamentals and execution. And this is a humble group. It's the leadership of our team. You know, it's Derek Brown and you know, it's Bryce, and these guys taking one game and saying we can do better than this, and rising to the challenge, making sure that we're being intentional with what we're doing every single day and how critical it is to execute on game day.
Bryce Young was benched last year, and now he's having the success of this season. There's humility with that. Derek Brown had injuries as well as you have. He said this is the most selfless team Derek did that he's ever been a part of. Where does humility most reveal itself and help a football team, you think, Austin?
Yeah, I think you got both ends of the, you know, the bookshelf there of you're going to get it when, you know, you go to New England or the Bills come here and they just absolutely kick your butt. And then you're going to get humbled that way. But also the positive side of it, when you go into Lambeau, the Rams come to Bank of America and you knock off the, you know, the number one seed at the time. And so you have to appreciate it and you have to live in the middle to where you're not getting too high and you're not getting too low, that no matter the failures, no matter the success, you understand that there's more out there. And you do not allow, you know, the failures and the success to control you, but you have to control them every single day. And I think as a young team that we are, guys are understanding that every single moment is an opportunity. And the best team doesn't always win on Sunday. It's who plays the best for 3 hours on Sunday. That's what the NFL is about. And guys are starting to understand that. And I think, you know, as we got our schedule back in May, you look at that week 14 bye and you're like, oh, shoot, that's going to be a long stretch. You know, hope we make it. And opposed to now is, hey, we got this week 14 bye. This is pretty dang good. We're in a real special spot. We're able to take this rest. We're able to get our minds right. We're able to step away from football, take care of everything at home, button everything up at home, tighten your ship. And here we go. We got a four-game stretch where we're playing meaningful football in December and January, and we are going to own that moment.
Austin Corbett with us here, Panthers offensive lineman. Okay, let's close with the fun stuff. That's a lot of serious talk, some heavy stuff, and we appreciate that as well. First off, true or false, Derrick Brown does have the laugh of a lovable giant from a children's cartoon. Does he have...
Yeah,
does,
that's true, especially when you can get him going. That's a true, deep, genuine belly laugh, and that's exactly who he is. He's just a big old friendly giant.
Yeah. That the sound he makes at practice after he pancakes you?
Yeah, no, he doesn't do that. We can get that one out, so I'm fair in that game. But no, there's a deep, maniacal, cynical laugh on game day, and I'm glad I'm on his team.
Yeah, I do like the description. Lovable giant from a children's cartoon. He mentioned that with Thanksgiving falling on a short week for you guys didn't get a chance to go hog wild food-wise. So what did you do on the holiday?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, pretty fortunate, especially coming off the, you know, Monday night, West Coast travel. Everything just tightens up, shortens up. You gotta take care of your body. You gotta get that recovery in Sunday. And so you just gotta be smart, especially, you know, as bigger guys, you know, you're able to kind of hold on to some more weight, you can eat more, you kind of get carried away. But I think guys were all pretty good and consistent and smart, understanding that we had a big game Sunday, so we couldn't go crazy.
So do you save the turkey? Do you save the sides for after the game during the bye? Like, did you have a feast at some point this week?
Yeah, I mean, you still dabble. You just don't go back for a third like normally.
Oh, I love that. Austin Corbett with us. Let's close with Luke Combs. He clearly saw the social media post with the gear on Sunday that we put out there. How close are we to getting you two together? Like, what needs to happen? What's the next step? How can we help?
Shoot, that's on, I guess, the ball's in his court. He's got a lot of things going. I know he's working hard. He's, you know, actively releasing songs, got another album coming out soon. So he's in the thick of it. He knows where to find us. We'll be at the bank, and that's where I'll be, you know. But, you know, whatever happens, happens. I'm a big fan. I'm going to listen regardless. My kids constantly ask for Back in the Saddle again, so it's they love singing it. And so it's awesome. It's all fun.
Is that the song you think you sing best in the car, where your kids are actually confusing you for Luke Combs?
No. That's it's the album artwork. There's a couple albums, you know, we've got half his face on there. Yeah, it's more of that than the vocal side of it. It's just the fun of it. They're 5 and 3. Yeah.
It's awesome. While we're talking music, let's close with this. It made me laugh at no end how big the social media trend of Carolina Mike has become. It's become a huge deal to the point where Jake Curhan is hearing the live performance during a timeout on Sunday a few weeks ago, and he's dancing. Like, he's got dance moves. It seems choreography is involved. So I feel obligated to ask this question, Austin Corbett. If you had $150,000, what would you do?
Man, especially on bye week, we're going hunting, we're going fishing. We're spending time in the outdoors, and a lot of lures, Kim. That's a nice boat that'll get you for $150,000. I get that.
I love it. All right, Austin, congrats on the nomination for Man of the Year, and thank you so much for spending the time with us. Always great with us, win or lose after games, too. We look forward to seeing you sometime soon, and enjoy the rest. Oh, by the way, where are you at during the bye week? Are you staying local?
Yeah, we stay here. Kids still got school. It's easier. You need too much stuff if you want to take the kids away. Strollers, car seats, diapers, all the nonsense. So we stay local.
I'll never forget, during a bye week, I ran into Jonathan Stewart at an IKEA, and I learned, what? And this was, and I learned that even for NFL football players, the wives see the bye week and think, I can ask more of the significant other. Is that true when you have three kids? Is the wife taking more advantage of Austin Corbett?
Well, she's currently not at home getting her nails done. So it's part of it. It's the honey-do list. It never ends. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. You got to take it. You got to make home a happy place. And so last night when we were putting the Christmas tree up, did I end up holding the Christmas tree for over an hour because this man decided to break? As the tree was fully decorated, sure did. So that was bye week. That was my workout. I was holding the tree up for an hour. And thankfully, Target was open till midnight. We got a new stand and got it all taken care of.
I hope you didn't have to decorate it, though. At least she maybe took care of that.
It was she's amazing at it. She was good decorating. But she put the last ornament on, and I go, huh, kind of leaning more than it normally was. And then I jumped in and she caught it before it fell, and we lost a pine cone, but it didn't break, nothing broke. Caught the tree, held it in place for an hour. She ran to Target. Well, she ran to Walmart. Walmart didn't have a stand, and then Target was thankfully open, and came home, and it was a fun night. It was great. It's perfect that it was bye week.
Well, Dalton, they're just like us. Yeah, we all can relate. Austin, thank you for putting up with our nonsense. We'll see you soon.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate you.
He was never voted most likely to succeed.
You're such a loser.
But then again, were you?
The very concept is unimaginable.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
Weekly positivity, 15 minutes from now. Perhaps even an opportunity to win before we get to the positivity. Might need some giveaway as a chaser for the topic we're about to hit on. We're already starting to see Tar Heels announce their intentions to enter the transfer portal. Chris Culliver at wide receiver, Kamari House at linebacker. And you should expect a noteworthy name locally. The pride of East Forsyth High School in Kernersville. Bryce Baker. You should expect at some point him to announce his transfer from North Carolina. Even though Bryce was Bill's first high school commit, a quarterback, a four-star player, Bill doesn't consider him as one of his recruits. He doesn't consider last year's class his class, even though, remember, Bill got Bryce to sign on. It was a big deal. Brought him to the Smith Center. Had him address the crowd at a Carolina basketball game. How many high school players usually get that opportunity? Bryce Baker got it. But don't just take it from me that last year's class essentially is being disowned by Bill Belichick. Here's how he opened his signing day press conference yesterday evening.
So let me start with, this is really our first recruiting class. Last year was after the signing day, and so it was a completely different situation, procedure, and process, and so forth. So this was you know, really a very long process that I'll get into in a minute, but it was much, much different from last year. So let me just start with that.
Yes, make sure to start with that. You know those players last year? Bleep them. They weren't ours. That was the previous staff. You know the staff that actually went to bowl games every single year? No, don't associate them with us. Oh, get out of here with that. These are our guys. We're 70. I'm 74 years old in April, and yet we're bringing in a class with more than 30 kids in it who are going to be playing for a different coach probably in 2 years or 3 years and entering the portal a year from now because things probably don't go better when we have a more difficult schedule and the head coach is not capable of changing or adapting all that much. We digress. Back to Bryce. In this class, Will, this big class that Bill's claiming now, it includes maybe the most highly touted recruit in the class is four-star quarterback Travis Burgess from Georgia. So if you felt Bryce Baker was your guy, are you bringing in a four-star quarterback? Is that four-star quarterback signing on with you if he feels that you have a future for Bryce Baker? It's also worth noting that Bryce didn't play this season. Now, are we saying that Bryce should have played over Gio Lopez or Max Johnson? No. Those guys are better. Will, don't do the shrug thing. The guy's a true freshman. Stop it.
Gio and Max weren't very good.
Gio, it could have been a lot worse. Trust that Bill's going to play who he feels is the best guy on the field. So are we advocating that Bryce should have played as a true freshman? No, I'm not. Will might be. I'm not. You can still, though, play in up to four games, though, remember, in college, and retain your redshirt. How many games this year was Carolina just flat out of it, and you could have gotten reps to a freshman if you, in fact, saw a future for that player? And actually, how about this? Last week, could you have scripted a more perfect opportunity to get Bryce Baker reps? Then you're already eliminated from bowl contention. You're getting drilled in Raleigh, so this is meaningless at this point in the second half of that game. Gio Lopez goes down with an injury. Yeah, you go with fellow freshman Alturi Newkirk in instead, who, by the way, played in two games last year while Bryce played in none. Just another reason to think that even among freshmen on the team, Bill doesn't favor Bryce Baker. So the guy... This shouldn't be seen as a hot take or breaking news. We're not reporting it here. Don't want Bill to yell at us the way that Dave Doran was yelling at the Joes, Joe Ovius and Joe Giglio, during his presser yesterday. Not reporting anything here. This is just a common sense deduction that he is a coveted player, four-star, local kid, offered by Florida, visited Penn State, offered by all the Big Four schools in our state, App State, Boston College, Louisville, Virginia Tech, and...
Boston College.
Thank you for that. Gosh, BC last night.
All of them.
Ruining things for... Not well.
Louisville.
Yeah, but
State.
Yeah, but BC blew the lead and should have won that game at Conte Forum. What are we doing?
It.
BC, Earl Grant, what are we doing here? Unbelievable. Louisville, what have you done for the conference since joining? Unbelievable. But that's an aside. He's going to be coveted. You're talking about a four-star in-state kid, 4 years of eligibility left. A lot of those places, though, Will, don't have the same coach that offered. When App State offered, Sean Clark was still the coach. When Florida offered, it was still Billy Napier. He visited Penn State. That was when James Franklin was the coach. Virginia Tech offered. Well, that actually makes sense because James Franklin now goes from Penn State to Virginia Tech. All right, might want to circle that twice.
Uh-huh.
All right, Boston College still has Bill O'Brien with resources.
Boston College?
It's a fair assumption that he's going to end up at an ACC school.
Yeah.
So the question is, which one? Virginia Tech makes sense because it's close to home, and James Franklin clearly liked him at Penn State, and they offered him at Virginia Tech, and... That might make some sense. Don't quite know what the Hokie signing class looks like Who knows? Maybe James Franklin's disowning those recruits the same way that Bill Belichick disowns last year's class.
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah, you're right. He's a good football coach. Louisville, a good college football coach. Bill Belichick, really good NFL coach. Louisville, They signed a quarterback. Duke signed a quarterback, and they got Darian Mensa coming back. Wake Forest had a quarterback in their class. So we'll look at the two we have circled. NC State, that makes sense, especially if C.J. Bailey wants to go somewhere else and get paid more money. If NC State can't pay him what someone else can pay. It's been the story the last few years and with Dave Doran and the transfer portal. They didn't sign a quarterback in their class, so maybe he can complement Will Wilson and you can have more of a passer there. You compete for a starting job. Maybe Virginia Tech, maybe Boston College as well. Just some teams to keep an eye on.
Boston College?
Potentially for Bryce Baker's services. But you should expect that he's going to enter the transfer, a lot like Chris Culliver and Kamari House and probably more Tar Heels on the way. Make sure, Will Dalton, that you are locked in on all the giveaways that we have here on the show, which might include some good news and bad news we have related to the Charlotte Hornets organization. Just because you are a bad news first type of guy.
Yes.
The Charlotte Hornets lost at Madison Square Garden last night.
I know. I was watching it.
What happened to Ryan Kalkbrenner?
So there was only a couple minutes left in the game.
Oh, man.
And he, if you don't recall, he sprained his ankle against the Clippers a few weekends ago. He goes up for like a block or something, so he's way up in the air, and he comes down on and rolls that same ankle.
Hmm.
And he limped off the floor and went to the locker room in some pain, so that's not great. Colin Sexton also got hurt last night.
Not good.
Yeah, not great.
Things aren't great.
But LaMelo, hey, he had 34. He went off. He was in his bag. Nobody else was.
Yeah, he's back. Oh, glad to hear that minutes restriction is on the...
No Brandon Miller last night.
On the wayside. Again?
Again. So that's back to back. But that, now they go to Toronto tomorrow.
Oh, great. Well, do you know what else is tomorrow? This is the good news. The Greensboro Swarm's back.
Yes.
At the Fieldhouse. And they're fun. Even when they lose, they're fun. They split games last weekend with the Go-Go's from the Capital City. And did you see what happened in OT?
No.
Former Deke ACC player of the year, Alondis Williams, got a steal and a game-winning layup.
Oh.
To win that game. P.J. Hall went off, too, at 16 and 11. Duh. So P.J. Hall getting some buckets, the former Clemson Tiger. It's a fun team. So it's the Westchester Knicks. And what's really cool is, so it's Friday and Sunday that they're playing. Sunday, that game from the Fieldhouse is going to be nationally televised on NBA TV. At 3 p.m. So tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Sunday is a 3 p.m. tip. If you would like tickets to tomorrow's game, how about we give away some tickets right now? 336-777-1600. Caller number 3. Three goggles. Gets tickets to Charlotte, Westchester tomorrow night. Or not Charlotte. Greensboro. The Greensboro Swarm. There's a Swarm show, Will. Facing the Westchester Knicks. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. Caller 3 gets tickets to the Fieldhouse tomorrow night. Make a Friday night out of it. To lift morale across the Piedmont and to win tickets to either NC State Ole Miss basketball in Greensboro or Chicago and Sticks visiting Charlotte next year, we play Weekly Positivity next.
It's the Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
How's this for a twofer? We have tickets to Chicago and Sticks in Charlotte next year. If you don't want to wait that long for a pair of tickets, how about December 21st in Greensboro, NC State, and Will Wade's team facing Ole Miss, Chris Beard's club, visiting the Triad right before Christmas. If you'd want to win tickets, if you want to win right now, all you have to do is give us a call, 336-777-1600, and tell us something good with you. And we're in dire need of positivity after the ACC-SEC Challenge. Up 6-3, and then last night you go 1-1. 5. I think the math on that is correct. No, 1-6. Apologies. 1-6. Also, baby Daniel has teeth that are coming in hot, coming in strong. So he didn't really want to sleep all that much 2 nights ago. That wasn't the most fun thing on the planet. So I could use your positivity as well. Right now, it's time for Weekly Positivity. The thing about trains, it doesn't matter where they're going. What matters is deciding to get on. Weekly Positivity, brought to you by Biscuit King.
Biscuits!
Let's go to Jordan, who's in Winston. Winston-Salem, to be more precise, joining us.
Yeah.
Are you actually in Winston, or are you in Clemens or Advance, one of the surrounding areas? Where are you at?
You're spot on Clemens, but thought Winston would be an easier pick.
I understand that. You know, you can be proud of Clemens here on Triad Radio. Like, when we visit with Chris Paul, we've actually corrected him once. He's like, yeah, I rep Winston-Salem. Like, you can say Clemens here. It's okay. West Versailles. People know what's up.
Yeah, and he might even be Louisville for all I know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you're right. We gotta rep our suburbs.
No doubt. Did you go to West Forsyth?
Yep, West Forsyth graduate.
That's outstanding. Tell me something good with you, Jordan.
So I got two things for you.
I've got
recently a promotion at work, so I've got a little pay raise at work, which I'm excited about, and then now I'm fully booked for my trip to Columbia, South America, Columbia, not South Carolina.
Yeah, I was about to say Columbia, South America, not Columbia, South Carolina.
With the O. So fully booked for that and going with some college friends down to Columbia.
Why Columbia?
That is a good question. It's for a bachelor party.
Oh, my God.
So whoever my bachelor friend is, he wants to golf and go fishing in Columbia.
Are you married, Jordan?
No, I'm not. So this should be a fun trip, I think.
Yeah, my bachelor party. Have I talked about my bachelor party on air here, Will? Have I done that?
I don't know if you have or not.
I, like an idiot, was visiting with, this is a name drop, our friend Bob Ryan here in the Triad. You know him from Around the Horn, ESPN, the whole deal.
Yeah,
and I'd never been to Fenway or had never been to Wrigley. So I asked Bob Ryan, Mr. Boston, hey, without even thinking, where should I go between Wrigley Field or Fenway? He's like, Fenway. And he's like, you know, if you do go, let me know. I'll get you tickets. And surely enough, they were Bob's tickets right behind home plate. Went to watch the Orioles play the Red Sox. The Orioles won that day. That was fun. And then I went and sang karaoke. And I think I sang that song from Mulan, and the place burned down. It was fun. It's good. It's a good time.
Balls.
I wonder if they have karaoke in Colombia. What do you think, Jordan?
You know, I'm going to say they have a version of it, and I have a feeling I'm not going to know many of the, the Hispanic songs, but I can definitely report back.
I'm sure there are some songs that have some Spanish in it where they are popular enough that it would still be a hit. If you go Ricky Martin's Livin' La Vida Loca, or if you do Jump in the Line, something like that, you could probably hit. Or Tequila, that'd probably work. I think people know what that means.
You're 100. Yeah, I'm sure I can find a Bad Bunny. Or yeah, there's got to be some crossover.
Okay, so when is this trip?
This trip is January 5th.
All
right.
I expect a weekly positivity call after January the 5th to let me know how that goes.
It might need to be 2 weeks after, so I have a 1 week to recover, but yep, you're going to get it.
That sounds great. Thank you, Jordan. There you go. That's good. That's a good call. Let's go to Dallas, who's in Asheboro. Hi, Dallas. Dallas, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Why are you named Dallas? Where does that come from? Is this a Forrest Gump situation where it's like, there's Tex from Seattle, there's Bama from Houston?
I get it asked a lot. Everybody thinks I'm from Dallas, but it's my father's name.
Hmm. Is he from Dallas?
And then I named my son Dallas, so there's three Dallases.
Is Dallas going to win the night?
Well, I'm a Chicago Bears fan.
Oh. Well, there you go. Then we're rooting for Dallas multiple times over to take down the Lions. I hope Dallas is a winner in this segment. Dallas, tell me something good with you.
Well, I spent the last 5 days getting all my outdoor Christmas lights up. I got a big display, and it's all up, and I've got it wired in and ready to go. I really enjoy it.
What was the most difficult part of the Clark Griswold-like effort that you put in to plug in all these lights?
There's actually two. One is wrapping a tree, where you wrap all the branches.
Of course.
It is very time-consuming.
Of course.
And then I have a mega tree with a flagpole, mm-hmm. and that's a little difficult too.
Well, if you're on social media, if you're on X specifically, and send us a picture of this tree, I'll make sure to get it out to everybody so they can see your work on a national basis, or on a local regional basis.
Right.
Dallas, thank you for the call. We'll make you a winner. One more. Let's do Lynn in Greensboro. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Josh. How you doing?
Let me think about that. I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. Yeah, I got a couple things to be happy about. Faison Brandon, he did go from pencil to ink.
Tennessee Volunteer.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're carrying his game later tonight against Weddington.
All right. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't know that. So I'll be listening then.
Please do.
Yes, I was happy about that. I grew up in the mountains in Virginia. On the Tennessee border, really close to Tennessee. So really funny or weirdly, whatever. Tennessee's my football team and Virginia Cavaliers are my basketball team.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, I got a buddy who come over and cut down some two big trees that really need to come down that was really close to my house. He just retired from Lincoln Financial, and he got up on his 20-foot ladder, and then he went up like 5 or 6 feet above the ladder and cutting down. And I was like freaking out, like, oh my Lord. So we got two of those big trees down, like at least 40 feet tall. So I was happy to get them down. But then later, picking up the big heavy pieces, I pulled a muscle in my back a couple weeks ago. And right now, today's the first day that it's starting to feel better. So I'm really happy. That it's not anything long term, and I'm on the mend.
I love that. Well, I don't love that you're on the mend, but love that things are looking up in more ways than one. Lynn, appreciate the call. There goes Lynn in Greensboro. Anything on the way out, Will Dalton, to hit in terms of things that are good?
I put up my Christmas tree last night.
So did everybody else. I had that written down as my good thing, too. Everybody else.
Okay, well, it's good.
I know all of us did the same good thing, it sounds
okay,
like.
Well, I bet they don't have a choo-choo train underneath their tree.
You have a choo-choo train.
Yes, I have a choo-choo train.
Did you really just refer to it as a choo-choo train?
I sure did.
Not a train set, not a train.
No, a choo-choo train. It's a Christmas choo-choo train.
Did you think of this because I quoted Polar Express at the start of this?
No.
Okay.
It's a choo-choo train. It's like, and I set it up to where it just goes. I mean, I don't have it moving or anything, but it's a nice little display right at the base of the tree.
Well, be sure to tweet that at me, too. I might retweet it.
I will.
I also might not.
The choo-choo train.
That's been Weekly Positivity.
We must talk.
Go ahead.
Talk back to the drive with Josh Graham.
Best bets, 3-6 last week, Will. 50-55 on the season. We're in the danger zone. We've had one losing season in the first 7 years we've done this. It's got to be now. It's now or never. We're running out of college games. Bowl games are always tricky. We generally don't do a lot of non-college football playoff bowl games. Who's playing? Who's coaching? That tends to be a mess. So, championship week, this is what we got. It's our last busy Saturday of college football games. And then we got the NFL and the NFL playoff. A lot of props for Super Bowl. But we can't afford another losing week. We're down 5 from being 500. It's got to be now. And we've got 7 picks on the card for this week, Will. Are you ready?
Let's fire it up.
It's time for Best Bets.
I'm not a betting duck.
Care to make it interesting?
You know you do.
You're on. Count me in on this.
Your best bet.
But my money's on the other team.
This is Josh's Best Bets.
Got 2 for the NFL. Let's just knock those out really quickly because one of them's for tonight. Love that I'm getting the hook. Cowboys +3.5 against the Lions tonight.
Send me that cash.
Detroit hasn't looked great in recent weeks. Lost 2 of the last 3, even in their wins, not looking fabulous. Dallas has looked better than anybody the last 3 weeks. Beat the Chiefs a week ago. Think they can win the game outright, so give me the field goal plus with the team that is absolutely rolling right now.
Send me that cash out, fam.
If you've been following all the drama going on in Pittsburgh this week, Ben Roethlisberger saying, oh, maybe they just need a different head coach, a different voice. It's time for a change. Mike Tomlin.
Adam Thielen now right in the middle of it.
Aaron Rodgers turning 42. There's drama.
Yeah.
A lot of drama as they go to Baltimore. It used to be just a ready-made line, Will, for a decade. Regardless of where the game's at, whoever's at home -3, that's the line for Ravens Steelers. So the fact I saw this some places at 6.5 and down to 6, now down to 5.5, I'm going to get it before it falls even further. Give me the Steelers +5.5. It gets back to 6, I might bet it. Right now, we're giving out the picks on Thursday, so I'm going to stay committed to the line. Steelers +5.5 is the bet that we're handing out. It's too many points for Mike Tomlin. It's too many points given the fact that Lamar Jackson has not looked good since coming back from injury. We saw it Thanksgiving night against the Bengals. So I don't understand why this isn't 2.5. I don't understand why this isn't 3, maybe 3.5 tops. I'm getting at least 2 free points here, and I don't know why that is. And I think with all the drama, Mike Tomlin, a really good coach, is going to figure out a way to keep this one close.
Send me that cash out, fam.
Maybe the Steelers win it, but we get the cover, 5.5 points. To championship week we go. I'm just going to let BYU Texas Tech sit. Not touching it. Nope. No siree. Staying away from that game. If you want to bet it, you can have it. I am going to take the Duke Blue Devils in the ACC Championship against Virginia. Did I bet Duke -1.5, -2.5 against Virginia 3 weeks ago when Virginia smoked Duke? Yep. Do I still like the matchup for the reasons I did then? You betcha. Give me the cliche, hard to beat a team twice, right? Duke +4.5 points? We're taking the Blue Devils +4.5. They can win the game outright because the ACC is going to ACC. Duke might have more NFL-level talent on this team than Virginia does. So it hasn't worked out well, according to my wife, when I fade Virginia. But we're doing it again. Duke, I'm hard-headed. Duke +4.5 in the ACC Championship. Also, like, at 8 o'clock Saturday night. You know how great of a story it's been? It's been Kurt Cignetti, the former Elon coach, and here he is, Indiana, #2 in the country. Fernando Mendoza is probably going to win the Heisman Trophy. Friend of the show, Fernando Mendoza. It's been a great story. Ohio State -4.
Send me that cash out, fam.
Do I like laying points, Will?
No, but
I do not.
The Buckeyes are really, really good.
So, this is not easy for me. It isn't. I'm waiting for this to get to 3.5, by the way, so I got it at 4 right now. Ohio State -4. I think it's going to get down to 3.5. If it does, I'll take advantage of that. But right now, Ohio State -4. They're the best team in the country. And that includes Indiana. Indiana didn't look great when they played Iowa not too long ago. I think that defense, they haven't seen anything like it. I think there's some opportunity for Julian Sayin as well to prove he's the Heisman, not winner, not Fernando Mendoza. We'll see if he's motivated to sling it around. And, you know, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate. I mean, how far do we need to go here talking about the talent that Ohio State has? And that's just too small of a number. And poor Indiana. I'm doubling up, Will. I got a second bet on this game.
Oh.
Indiana under 21.5 team total. Do you want to know a fun fact about Ohio State?
I'd love to hear a fun fact.
They haven't allowed more than 16 points in a game this year. Last I checked, 21.5 is more than 16.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And that gets us over the key numbers of 17, 20, and 21. So 21, good job, good effort to get there. No more than that. Indiana under 21.5 team total.
Cash up,
that's what we're rolling with. In fact, Will, I've got two more team totals to close out our college slate. Alabama is facing Georgia. Georgia can't beat Bama. So does that mean I'm betting Bama +2.5? No. I just think Bama's going to score. Georgia's pass rush stinks. And I think Alabama's going to score more than 22.5 points. So I'm going Alabama. Team total over 22.5.
Send me that cash
just
up,
need to
man.
Get to 24. I don't care if you lose 27-24, 31-24. Just need you to get, you know, even 31-23. We'll take it. Alabama team total over 22.5. Haven't loved the way their offense has looked of late, but Georgia's pass rush not good. Alabama tends to have Georgia's number. It's indoors, so the offense should have no issues there. One more. Will Dalton, hi. Oh, this is tomorrow night. So we have action tonight, tomorrow, and on Saturday. 7 o'clock, Fun Belt. James Madison's laying 23.5 points. Do I want part of that? No. I don't like laying points. I don't like laying that many. So instead, what I'm going to do, James Madison team total over 34.5.
Send me that cash up.
I don't know if you've been following. They're trying to make the college football playoff. And if Duke wins, there's going to be some conversation about the Blue Devils beating Virginia and their wins versus James Madison's. What I'm saying is James Madison is incentivized to win by as many as it can. Don't let the foot off the pedal play for 60 if you're James Madison. I think that means they score 35 points. So there you go.
Send me that cash out.
I like that bet.
In review, Cowboys +3.5 against the Lions. Steelers +5.5 against the Ravens. Duke +4.5 against Virginia. Ohio State -4 against Indiana. Indiana team total under 21.5. Alabama team total over 22.5. James Madison over 34.5 team total. Those are our bets for this week. Those are 7. Right there, Will. Boom. In front of you. On the card. Locked in. Let's go 5-2. Let's go 6-1.
You kind of need to.
I don't need to go 5-2 or 6-1. I need a winning week. I need 4-3. That's what I need.
Yeah.
Can I get 4-3?
I'll
take it to get us in the game. If we're better than that, 5-2, 6-1 gravy. Do you like the picks?
I like the Ohio State pick.
Okay.
I like the JMU over
team total.
Their team total pick. That's a good one. Although I wouldn't hate the -20. It was 22.5 last I looked at it. I guess it's moved.
Yeah, it has.
I wouldn't hate rolling the dice on that one just because I like to live on the edge. You know how that goes.
That doesn't sound like fun.
I actually like the Ravens.
You always like the favorites in the NFL.
Not always. I took the Panthers 9.5 dogs this last week.
Who do you like, Cowboys, Lions?
What was the line again?
3.5 for Dallas.
I think I like Detroit. I just do.
I know.
I think their luck's going to run out. I really do. It's go time for Detroit.